Woo.
Oh, it's hot.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, John.
Hey, man.
You're here at the pool, huh?
Damn right, because it's hot.
Oh, brother, I am sweating.
That's gross. You should get in the water, man. Pool. Get in the pool.
I'm going to do a cannonball.
Okay.
All right.
Here you go.
Woo! Wow. Whew. Feels great.
Do you feel refreshed?
It feels great here in the water.
Isn't summer vacation awesome?
It's the best.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know.
This is a private pool.
Get out, get out, get out!
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourcut,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Basically summertime. It's not technically summertime.
Summertime, 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 summertime.
I think it's like June 20th or something.
That's the technicality. It's summer, yo.
Didn't I just say it's not technically summertime?
Technically.
Oh.
Yes.
It's not technically summertime, but...
Summer begins, really, I mean, culturally, I think summer begins Memorial Day weekend.
Yep. And we're going to do some fun summer episodes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to kick things off with something kind of just a standard episode for the most part, summer vacation.
Yeah.
We got some ideas, right?
Yeah.
For different types of episodes.
Summer.
Summer-themed episodes.
Some are
summer-themed.
Oh.
Some are not. Yes, they are.
Except that they are.
Yeah. So the summer series begins with this episode, and this episode is called Summer Vacation.
Ow!
What do you mean by that?
I'm going to quote one of my favorite summer vacation movies.
All right.
Right now. And that movie is Good Burger.
Okay.
The Kenan and Kel vehicle. Yeah. And Kenan in that movie... I forget what his character's name is, but he says, no, see, it's summer vacation. The key word there is vacation.
Scene.
There you go.
What?
That's the definition of summer vacation. The key word is vacation.
The whole word is?
Yeah, you're taking it easy. You're just laid back. You're just vacation.
Not always.
No. Sometimes you're working. Sometimes you're summer. What's that one job? The not job. The one song. Summer.
Summer job.
No. Damn it.
Summer love.
Not that one either. Dum do do dum do do dum do do dum do 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 do. Well, mom and pop and told me, son, you gotta make some money. If you wanna use a car to go ride next Sunday. Something, something, something. My boss said, hey, you can't use the car because you don't know the vote. Or something.
And I done what I'm gonna do because
there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. There we go. That's
nice.
It. Yeah. Summer vacation is a state of mind, and it is an institution.
I once read that summer vacation exists because schoolhouses didn't have, you know, air conditioning. And so they wouldn't have school during the summer because it was too hot.
Which, I mean, I understand that notion.
I don't know if I buy that completely.
I don't think I buy that either, because nothing had air conditioning for
a long
time.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like the kids were going to go somewhere that had air conditioning.
Yeah.
And why was it okay to be freezing in the wintertime?
Yeah. Good right? point. They didn't have heat either.
Yeah. Well, they did, but
unless they like put set themselves stove. On fire.
Yeah, which they did.
Self-immolation is
yeah, it's the only way to keep
time-honored tradition. I think Lincoln started it.
Summer vacation for me was always heralded by the last day of school. Yeah. And on the last day of school, I would wake up to Alice Cooper's School's Out.
Did you actually listen to that?
My dad played it.
Damn, your dad is awesome.
He would play it on the last day of school every year. And I would wake up to it.
That's so rad.
School's Out. For summer. I would wake up to that, and it was such a great... Because there are a few things combined to make that day awesome. One, yes, I had to go to school, but it was field day.
Oh.
So it's not like you're doing anything at school. Yeah. Everyone's just delighting in the fact that school's over.
Yeah.
It's one big celebration. And then you know that the next day is the first day of summer. You have nothing to do. You don't have to do anything. At least when you're young enough and
right.
you don't have a job or anything. You're free.
And you're not one of those suckers.
It is an incredible sense of freedom.
It is. It is the magnitude of what awaits that makes
yeah,
it so cool.
The
because
potential.
It's not like, you know, you've got to be back in a week or a month. It's like you can't even see September
yeah,
or August.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's so miles away, yeah.
And the potential for it, for yeah. what can go on during the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's so many movies and works of fiction that are based on the simple concept that summer can hold anything. You know, it has anything in store for you.
Yeah. It's a time of transition, or like, you know, you leave the school year and at the end of summer, you are transformed. But you don't know exactly how that's going to play
yeah,
out at the beginning
of summer.
Yet.
You don't know.
But there's that potential. You can become somebody else
yeah.
if you want to.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Should you need us.
So a lot of potential in the summer vacation. And then there's also that vacation element to it where it is a time of travel, family trips.
It can be, yeah.
Or it can be just getting away. You know, maybe you spend it with, like, your grandparents or some
yeah.
relatives or
yep.
something.
There's time to
it's
do
a break
so
from
much
the
stuff.
Norm is
yeah.
what it is. It's a break from the norm.
There's so much time.
Get out, Norm.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Come on in, Abnorm.
Abnorm.
That's the other one.
Yeah. He only comes out in the summer.
Yeah. One of the things that I really liked about summer was when I was old enough to be home on my own and, you know, both my parents were working. Mm-hmm. And so I'd get up and I'd have I remember distinctly, I used to leave notes for my parents the night before. And
what
summer,
like ransom notes?
No. Well, I'll tell you what they were.
I've taken your razor.
I don't know how often. I think maybe this happened one summer. But what I did is I would leave a note and I would say, I remember this in particular, that I was going to create a superhero and that each day I was going to give them a choice of like parts of the costumes and they
oh,
would
okay.
have to choose. So I'd draw three masks and they'd choose a mask.
Cool.
I'd draw three, you know, shirts and they'd choose a shirt. So,
and then at like the end of the week, you would
and
give
then
them
I
their
get,
superhero?
Yeah. And then I was like, what's the superhero's name? And what he ended up being called was the Arrow of Attrition. And he Ooh. Was a, he was an archer. And it was, I had a lot of fun with it. You
yeah,
know?
No, that's great.
And I would also draw little comic strips and leave them for my parents to read in the morning. And they would always leave a note, you know, telling me, have a good day. Sometimes they'd leave money. Because I would walk up to, I think I talked about this, but I'd walk
oh,
up
yeah.
to the video store and
yeah,
man,
get
that
a
was
Slurpee,
that
yeah.
was my overriding memory from summertime was, I look so forward to taking a good chunk of the day and walking or riding my bike to the video store, getting a movie, going to 7-Eleven, getting a Slurpee or a soda or whatever. And then coasting back home.
Uh-huh.
It was such a cool...
Carefree.
Yeah, exactly. It was so liberating.
Yeah.
There was nothing to worry about. I had money in my pocket. I had a video cassette hanging off the handlebars. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't think of that feeling being replicated in any other way. It was so singular for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that I, you know, could never really recapture because it was so.
Well, yeah, because it's that taste of freedom that you don't normally have. Like, I mean, you arguably as an adult, you could sort of set your own schedule.
I could.
You know, you could.
Yeah.
You could coast on your bike as much as you want to.
Exactly.
You could even, like, find a videotape. Yeah. And like.
Can I give you a videotape this summer? And I'll ride my bike over here and I'll rent it from you.
Yes.
And you can maybe have a Slurpee ready for
me. I can do that.
And I could coast
home. And then you can coast home. Dodging traffic.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But it's that when you're a kid and it's summer vacation, then it's that unprecedented feeling of freedom.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not easy to replicate that.
Well, yeah, and I think you hit it on the head. The fact that you become the steward of your time, that mm-hmm. you are now in charge and you could give yourself, you know, free time to do whatever mm-hmm. and you feel like, you know, you got stuff to do or what have you, right?
Yeah.
There's obviously as an adult, there's a lot more you have to do,
right.
More obligations that you have, and summer vacation is no longer a break, you know, it's not like you stop working over the summer.
Right.
But so it's hard to recapture that feeling. But I think also it's just, you know, part of it's nostalgia. But part of it too is having that, you look forward to it all year, you know, like mm-hmm. it is so different than your day to day.
That's the thing. I mean, I think that there is something valuable in that break from the norm, like, there's a restorative quality to it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, as adults, I think, like, we actually could benefit from that. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like all positions and everything, you know, should be suspended at some point. And like, people should be, it should be like a standard thing to go on a mm-hmm. sabbatical, no matter what your job is, you know, whatever, just do something different for 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be a lot of different things. Just like when you're a kid, it could be a lot of different things, you know, like there were days where I, you know, would do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I would literally just watch TV or lay in the pool or something, you know, but then there were other days.
In the pool.
Yeah.
John, get out of there. He's in the pool again. He's just laying on the bottom of the pool. Someone needs to stay home with him.
But, like, then there were other days where I would, like, spend, like, literally the whole day writing and drawing comics you know, stuff where, like, you're able to hurl yourself into a project and not come up for air until, you know, your parents get home or, you know, it's time to go out and do something else.
You would get up and, you know, your friends are all off school, too, so you go outside and you get to play games and just, like, the day is yours.
Yeah. Carpe diem.
Yeah, seize it. Seize the day.
Grab it.
The summer day and the summer nights.
Oh.
When you get older, you know.
Yeah.
That was also a big thing. You know, I can remember so many awesome late summer nights of just being out with friends. And, you know, you couldn't obviously stay out this late during the school.
Right. 'Cause you got
school year and stuff. And you could do it on the weekend, but it felt limited somehow because, you know, school is coming up soon.
We had to pack so much into those weekend nights when you're a teenager. Like.
But you could linger and there. Linger? Yeah. Langer?
Langer?
What's the word I'm looking for?
Linger. Loiter?
A langer?
What are you doing?
Wait.
I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
You could linger. You weren't rushed. Like, you could, you could just all night, just like, you could sit around all night. You could sit there and, like, so many, you know, the teenage years are formative, obviously, and the summertime was when you, like, started to philosophize on life, you know, and you'd stay up late nights talking with friends, and you're just like, man, this means that. And, like, we're all like this, and you know, it's so.
Let's
you
have, go to Arby's.
You have the you know, the most contrived, cliched conversations.
Yeah,
but they're all new to you, and so it's this amazing, you know, coming of age. Those late nights, you know, like, oh man, well. You know, I think God's not a guy. I think it's like a thing.
A Subaru.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Those kinds of conversations.
Yeah.
I don't believe in God, but I'm spiritual. I'm very spiritual. You know? Like, not a God, but I think.
Right. I think God is like all around us. He's in this cup right
like,
here.
And I'm drinking this cup and I'm God too. And I'm like drinking me. And I wasn't high.
No, you just, it's that like late night philosophy that just baked into
and
your
head. And I linked that really closely with summer, you know, because you had that time to like waste.
Yeah.
There was a lot of time to waste.
You could afford to have those deviations from
your
normal.
You could make plans. It's all about the lazy sort of languid is the word I was trying to come up with. Thank you.
Sure. Languor.
Linger.
That's when you linger.
Damn it!
Languidly linger.
Yes! Linger. Thank you. Summer's starting. Just watch him. Getting older every day. Not gonna say he gets no listen. Come on now, it's the first day of summer. Summer, so my summer vacation generally consisted of two sort of getaways. One was the summer vacation, the road trip that my
the family
would always
trip.
Take us on. Right. You know, we generally drove out west, and it was I think we would go for like a week or 2 weeks, week and a half or whatever, and just drive
the traditional
to our destination
family
exactly
vacation,
and that was. I always looked forward to that so much because it was a huge change from the norm, you know. Mm-hmm. Not only am I no longer at school, but I'm getting out of the state and seeing all this cool stuff that I've, you know, never got the chance to see. Obviously, just staying in St. Louis.
Right.
And the other one was my mom's side of the family every year has a camping reunion. So everyone gets together and we all camp together for the weekend. So that was another trip. And generally that was, you know, a few hours away as far as a drive. That always initially involved some sort of competition, some sort of craft competition. So 1 year we all decorated shirts and there was a prize for the best shirt. And 1 year we all decorated bandanas and there's a prize. And 1 year my mom outdid herself and she did the Olympics. She did the Wood Family Olympics. It's the Wood family. Mm-hmm. And she organized all these events that we all took part in. It was a lot of fun.
Sack races?
No sack races. No, there was like one event where we got all these strange components like toilet paper rolls and toothpicks and marshmallows and like you had to build the tallest structure you could out of what you were given. Mm-hmm. There was a scavenger hunt. There was a croquet tournament. What else was there? There was a few other events in there. And then she had a scoreboard. So my dad and I were on a team. It was you were with your family.
Okay.
Your team was your family, and my mom didn't compete because she knew all the events. So it was my dad and I on a team and versus, you know, like all the other families.
Right.
And I think we won.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We definitely won the croquet tournament. I remember that.
No, how does that go? What's that? There you go. Yeah.
That's O Canada.
No, no, it's
O Canada. Yeah,
they're gonna play that this summer. Olympics.
That's right. It's the Summer Olympics.
I'm not excited.
You said Olympics.
Olympics. I like the Laugh Olympics a lot. There you go.
Who didn't?
Yeah.
Snidely Whiplash.
Doggy. Doggy Daddy.
Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah, Snidely Whiplash.
What did your summer consist of?
Like junior high kind of summer was always like in the mornings, wake up, watch a couple shows. American Gladiators, Price is Right. Yeah. I liked the consistency of every day going like, okay, here's the competition on Monday.
Yeah.
And then next day it's Tuesday and it's like, how's this going to stack up? Like I looked at it as though it was like a league, you know?
Wow.
And the same thing with like Price is Right. Like I liked the continuity, even though there really was no continuity. I like to like imagine that there was continuity to it. So I'd watch some shows. I had some neighborhood friends that I would skateboard with.
Oh, wow.
And that was usually like that didn't get going until like the afternoon. You know, people would go out. And one kid actually had like a makeshift ramp in his backyard that he put together. So we would just hang out and skate and listen to music and stuff. And then there were a couple summers that I actually spent like – I would spend the day at a friend's house. So those were always like fraught with problems.
Like, how so?
Well, because we would always get into trouble. Like, you know, by myself, I could pretty much stay out of any shenanigans.
But yeah.
Like getting together. Like there was one, I was probably, I don't know, 10 or 11 this one summer. And my friend was convinced that his neighbor had like he had like some kind of communist lair in his garage or something. Gosh. Like he was up to no good or something. Yeah. And so we would like dress up in camo and like get binoculars and we would like spy on him, you know, spy on the garage. And then like one day he threw a ball into the yard. No, he didn't throw a ball into the yard. He was like, oh, I think the guy left. I think he left. Now we can, and like, we could see that the window was still open in his garage. So he's like, you can go in, you know. So I'm like doing a military crawl across the guy's yard.
Yeah.
And I get up to the garage and I like pick my head in and I'm looking, glancing side to side. I was there for like maybe 3 seconds. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, what are you doing?
My God.
What are you looking for in here? The guy was still in there. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was still in there. And I was like, I think my friend and I hit a ball into here.
What?
And he's like, there's no ball in here. Get out.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was like 10. Or so.
Oh, you hit a ball in here.
I was proud of that. I was like, on the fly. I was like, there's a ball we hit in here. And then I think it was even like, okay, sorry, you don't gotta be a jerk about it. Like
nice.
I actually like threw it back
Turned
on
it around.
Him. Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah, so that was that. Later on like 12, 13, 14, I would, you know, draw comics all day and like I would that was my big thing, like having like large chunks of time to just devote to those. So I would have a series and I would try to do like one comic a week.
Wow.
On those. That was the bulk of like junior high era. Like high school, once I like became a teenager, then I started working occasionally. Daytime, like not really doing much of anything, you know, sleeping most of the day.
Yeah.
Those are the halcyon days of like waking up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
my gosh.
You know?
Yeah.
And then like going out at night, like I would, you know, have dinner with my parents or whatever and then, you know, be gone in the evenings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That reminds me of having like too much time on my hands. And I would envision these grandiose like projects that I would put so much effort into planning. And then realize I did not have the resources or the skills to execute.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember distinctly seeing the movie Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and being especially impressed by the, there's like a scene where they hide under these leaf blankets and they spring out when a carriage goes by and they steal their
right
stuff. You
I see where this is going.
So my plan, because there weren't a whole lot of leaves on the ground in the summer, you know, was to have a grass blanket instead. And so I thought, easy, no problem. All I got to do is go in the backyard and, like, cut a patch of grass out. And then just, I can lay under it. Like, that's easy. And so I went outside and I was just, I didn't know what to do. Like, I was like, where do I use to cut this? Yeah, it's, in my head, it was so easy.
Yeah.
But then I got frustrated and didn't do it. Another thing I wanted to do based off of Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I think there's a scene in the movie where they rob a carriage or something and then they run and the guy who robbed it like comes up to a, there is like a grass blanket or a leaf blanket, but it's uh-huh. propped up with a stick
uh-huh.
and he rolls under it and knocks the stick out. So it just falls on top of him and he's hidden. Well, I took that idea and I was like, you know, what'd be even cooler is to have a whole like little, apartment in underground.
Oh yeah.
And so
like the Pound Puppies.
Yeah. So, so my backyard, I think I've described it before. It was, you'd walk out in the back and there's basically, you know, flat ground and then there's a hill, a small hill that goes up okay, and then yeah. you have more backyard past that. Right. Mm-hmm. So my plan was to go basically cut into the incline of the hill, dig out a compartment, and then retain that the side of the hill so that I could then close it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I could prop it up on sticks if I wanted to, but to if I want to remain hidden, I would go inside and knock the right. sticks out.
And then just this layer of sod would...
So...
fall down over the
entrance. I was so convinced I could do this.
Yeah, sure.
And that it was easy to do. And again, I'd get out. I drew it out. I drew the whole thing up, mm-hmm. you know, like plans, blueprints. And then I get outside and I'm like, I just don't know what to do at that point. You know, I don't know what tools to use. I think I did get a shovel out and start to try to dig, but I realized very quickly that I didn't have the strength or the will to like continually dig. And I just didn't, I had a forethought enough to know that I didn't know what to do next. You uh-huh. know what I mean? Like I was sort of moving, you know, forward in time in my head, like, okay, once I get this dug out, what do I do?
And
I
what's didn't, the next step?
Yeah. So yeah. I had all this time to plan things that never really came to fruition.
But the planning was entertaining yeah. enough. Yeah.
After seeing Home Alone, I planned all these elaborate traps for my parents when they got home. And I actually, I shouldn't say elaborate because the only, did I describe this before?
I don't know.
The only trap that I executed on, in quotes, was, okay, I had the Ghostbusters power pack, the proton pack.
Yeah.
And it, and the cord that connected the wand to the pack was detachable. Mm-hmm. And it was this yellow kind of rubbery cord or plastic cord. Mm-hmm. And so I detached that. I tied one end to a stuffed dog that I had. And I held the other end. I propped the dog up on the door, the bedroom door, and hid in my closet with the other.
Okay. End.
So the plan was that when my mom or dad came in, I would I would pull the thing and it would fall on them.
Uh-huh.
And so I can remember like getting all set up and then, you know, being like, Mom, Dad. And I don't think either of them came in. or I got so impatient, you know, like yeah. they didn't come immediately that I gave up. But this is the thing. I had all this time during the summer to, like...
You could scheme.
Yeah, to scheme. Exactly. Yeah. I had scheming time.
Scheming time.
Scheming time, scheming time, scheming time, scheming time. Whatever your reason, whatever your rhyme, there's always reason to scheme in time.
Did you have like a neighborhood pool or anything?
No,
like
we
that?
Did not.
No,
I mean we went to a pool, but it was not a neighborhood pool.
Okay, but you had like a pool destination that you would go to.
Yeah,
yeah.
Queenie Park, which I described before.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had a pool.
Okay. How often did you go?
I think we went pretty regularly during the summer, at least once every couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know.
Did they have a diving board?
Yes. They had two diving boards and a high dive board.
Oh, man. I remember, like, the high dive board was, man, a thing of terror.
Yeah, it was. I did it. I mean, I went up there.
Oh, you got off the high
dive?
Yeah. Wow, I never did.
And I'd get up there and immediately regret it. You know, but there's nothing I can do. Like, I was like, I cannot go back down.
You committed
there's
yourself.
A line of people down there.
Yeah.
And I have to jump off of this now. And you stand up there just like, oh my God, it's so high up.
And it really wasn't. I mean, it was probably like, what, 8 feet or
yeah.
so? Yeah.
But as a kid, you're like, oh my God.
Sure. Yeah, that's huge.
And it hurts, actually, to jump off of it because you hit that water pretty hard.
Yeah.
I thought it hurt anyway.
I was always bothered by the texture of the diving board.
Yeah.
Because it was that really, like, grainy concrete or whatever.
They didn't want you slipping off of it.
No, but damn, man.
That was painful. That was a thing, too, with the pool in general is because it's summertime, it's hot. And so the concrete was always hot.
Yeah.
And you're barefoot. And they're like, no running. It's like, it hurts.
Yeah.
Let me get in the pool.
If you would put some rubber down or something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to run, buddy.
You got all the power. I don't know why I said that to him, but.
You've got the power. You got the touch. You got the power.
That was the movie I would rent. Transformers the movie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The pool was... a thing of its own, you know, like my dad usually took us, me and my sister. And, I always hated that you had to shower before you got in the pool. I hated that.
It was sort of gross. It was grosser than if you didn't have to shower and people just got in the,
and it was really like, it was funny how much I didn't want to get wet, even though I was about to jump into a pool,
mm-hmm.
but I hated that. The showers hurt. They're really high pressure showers, at least at Queenie Park. And you walk into this dank, gross locker room.
It always stinks. Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels gross under your feet.
Yeah.
But then you shower. And the thing is, I would wear like tennis shoes to the pool. I didn't have flip flops. Uh-huh. And so I couldn't put my shoes back on because my feet are wet. So that I had to walk the whole way out
on
to the
hot
pool
concrete.
On the hot concrete.
Yeah.
And first we have to find a spot, you know, to put our stuff. So
yeah.
I'm waiting for us to find a spot so I can just run into the pool. And that was very painful. But then once you get in the pool, it's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, provided it's not too crowded.
What would you do in the pool?
I liked to...
Yes, this is already awesome.
Yeah, you're going to like this.
You so, have such unique things. I really hope this is unique.
I was never... This is like a condition that I had when I was a kid where, like, you know, I was never comfortable with the standard scale of things. So, for example, like when I would like put together things with Legos, I would always imagine that the scale was much smaller in relation to, you know, contextually than what the Legos were. Like, so for, you know, okay, so like they have those little Lego people. So other people, other kids were like building houses that were supposed to be, you know, like, okay, so this is like four blocks tall because that's as tall as it needs to be for to house the Lego guy.
Okay.
Well, I would imagine that the inhabitants of my Lego house were like minuscule, like centimeters tall, so that I could then make this house much more elaborate without using a lot more blocks. I just imagine that.
So you did not build something big enough for your guy.
Right.
Okay.
I would just imagine that the inhabitants were smaller.
Okay.
Right. You know, but nobody could get their mind around this. So, and this translates to the pool too, because I would pretend that like, I would pretend that I was a submarine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would imagine myself as a smaller person on a submarine. And I was the submarine. And so then I would like swim underwater and I would, you know, make submarine noises.
Oh,
I would
man.
Be like,
yes.
going through the water.
Yeah.
And then I would like dock at the other side of the thing. I would, you know, pretend I was a fairy or something. And I would like pause there. And, you know, because I was a slave to authenticity, I would like wait there and keep my head underwater and continue blowing bubbles up because, you know, they never turn off the engine when the boat docks, you know, they're just loading passengers and stuff. And so my mom would always be like, or, you know, whoever the adult was or whatever would always be like, you know, why are you just lying there with your head in the water?
This is exactly what you do. We said this. You lay in the pool.
Yeah. So that was my favorite thing to do. I would imagine that the pool was like this giant undersea base.
Nice.
And I was like transporting people from one side to the other or something.
I would pretend that I was a superhero of some kind because the physics under the pool were such that you could fly or jump very far. Mm-hmm. Or I could crawl on the walls like Spider-Man.
I did that too.
That's what I would do a lot. Or I would do flips. You know, I'd do a front flip or a back flip or a handspring. It was easy because I was underwater.
Yeah.
And I looked so cool. You do anything so underwater. Cool. We used to, and of course we used to, you know, have competitions, how long you hold your breath.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One game we used to play was we would, two people would go underwater. And I actually played this with my nephew later, like once he was old enough to go swimming and stuff. You would go underwater, one person would yell something at the other person, and you both come back up, and that the other person had to guess what you said.
Oh, okay.
And it was really, obviously, it's really hard to understand what people are saying when they're
running.
Yeah. So you had to, like, really enunciate. It was a lot of fun. That was a game we'd play. My dad would, like I said, my dad would take us, and my dad was just as interested in just sunbathing as he was in swimming. Mm-hmm. And so it was always like a battle to get him to come into the pool and play with us. And I remember
he just wants to relax.
Yeah.
Dad just wants to relax.
But I'm like, Dad, come on, come in the pool. Right. We'd stand on the edge of the pool and, you know, yell at him. And finally he'd come in. And the only reason that we wanted him to is because he would throw us. He'd pick us up and throw us across the pool.
Yeah.
You know, like that was amazing. It was so much fun to get thrown into the pool.
Yeah.
another thing we would do, I can't remember if my dad did this or if my brother did it, but like they would grab onto my feet and I would try to swim away and they would yank me back, you know. That was a lot of fun for some reason.
So you would kind of skim across
the
top.
Yeah, they'd pull me back and let me go. So yeah, I would then sort of skim across the top like that.
Yeah.
The pool was awesome. But you know what was dumb is when they'd make everyone get out of the pool for like adult swim or
Oh, did they really do that?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember them like, you know, they would have like like time limits. Like, you know, afternoon session is like from 2 to 4:30.
Yeah, they'd have like a 30-minute span where like adults were allowed in to just, they could just like, you know, languidly lounge.
And you just stand there impatiently tapping your foot.
Did you ever go to like what's the like water parks?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Raging Rivers.
I did go to some around here, like Wet Willies. Yeah, God, with like the concrete.
Three slides. One was the fast one, one was the medium one, one was the slow one.
Okay.
And you would buy, you'd rent a mat.
A rubber mat, yeah.
And the color of your mat denoted what you were allowed to go on.
Oh, I don't remember that, but I only went there one time, so. I just remember.
I never went down the fast one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Too scared.
Well, I may have gone down the fast one inadvertently. I just remember, like, starting off on the mat and then the mat coming out from underneath.
Oh, my God. That's losing concrete.
The mat. I know. And then I came out, like, and it's, like, scraping the surface of my stomach. The concrete is just, like,
oh.
Yeah. I didn't do any, like, the local water parks usually. I would do them, like, on vacation in Branson or something, but never. I didn't go to too many. So, like, Raging Rivers, have you been there?
Yeah, I can remember. Did you like it? Yeah, I've been there like once or twice, and I thought it was amazing because I'd never been to a water park like that before.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'd only been to Wet Willies.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I'm sure it's
probably. And they had, at the time, I think they had just opened this new slide that was, I don't think they called it this. I think it was affectionately referred to as the toilet bowl.
Oh.
Because you got
sort of like a funnel?
Yeah, you spat out into this funnel and just went around it over and over until you went down the hole in the middle. And that was a lot of fun.
I've always wanted to go on one because I haven't.
It was pretty fun. And it was unlike anything I'd done before, you know. They have a little lazy, you know.
The lazy river.
You know. Yeah.
Have you ever been on a water coaster?
A water coaster?
Yeah. You get I think there are different kinds. There are some that have like a raft, and you ride in a raft in a slide, you know, and then it dumps you out into a pool. Mm-hmm. And there are other ones where you're just like riding like a water slide, but what it does is instead of just being controlled by gravity and the water descending, there are actually little bursts of air pumped into there, so they accelerate you enough such that you can go up.
Where are they? Where?
There are a few of them around. Like, I think there may not be one at Six Flags, but there's some in, like, Florida. And the one that I went on was in Texas at this place called Schlitterbahn, which is, I guess, like the... I mean, it was like
Schlitterbahn.
I saw it on the Travel Channel, and they were like, you know, it's the number one water park in the Southeast United States.
Schlitterbahn.
Yeah, Schlitterbahn in New Brunswick.
You're
going
to lose your Schlitt.
I did too. That was a good time. Yeah, but water parks are awesome. Except, you know, there is that hazard that you could lose your trunks or whatever. Oh man, this is totally not related to a water park, but it is related to a pool and summer vacation. The best pool story. I was on vacation. This must have been like the summer after high school. So I was like 18, and a bunch of my friends, we went on a weekend trip, you know, and we're staying at this hotel, and there's a hotel pool, an indoor pool. And so as soon as we get there, everybody's like, into the pool. And it was great, 'cause there was nobody there. Like, everybody was out doing other stuff. So we had the whole pool to ourselves. And so we're having a good time, and like an hour goes by, and all of a sudden this kid shows up, and he's like, I don't know, 8 or 10, you know, and he's all by himself. And he gets into the pool, and so all my friends, we're all sort of trying to keep to ourselves.
How old are you guys?
We're like 18.
Okay.
And there's this like 6-year-old kid or whatever. And so we're kind of giving him the evil eye. I mean, you know, we're kind of like, we're like, you know, hey man, you know, we were having a good time here, you know? And I mean, we were being crass teenagers, you know, and everything like that. So I think we felt kind of bad that, you know, like, well, we didn't want to stop, you know, but we also were like, felt bad, like this kid's over here. And so we were very conscious of what we were doing. So I think everybody was a little bit off kilter, you know? And at one point somebody looks down. Okay. And let me describe the way that this is. So it's like indoors in this like atrium.
Yeah.
And at one end of it, there is this little waterfall set up, you know, water falling into the pool and like kind of like a fake floral arrangement around it.
Okay.
Okay, so, and we're hanging out by the waterfall at this point, all of my friends. And somebody looks down and sees this dark object on the bottom of the pool.
No. Oh, no. What?
Yeah. So everybody looks down, and we all kind of like turn and look at each other. And we're like, is that what we think it is? Is that? And we all like, we're out of the pool. We're like out of the pool instantly. So, you know, 1 minute there are like 9 teenagers and this 6-year-old in the pool. And the next second, all the teenagers are out and it's just that kid. And he's just kind of like treading water, you know. Like he's nervous now because we all got out of the pool.
Yeah.
So we keep looking down at this thing and trying to guess, you know, is that really it?
Yeah.
Is that what we think it is? You know, did this kid just crap in the pool? And some of us, like, we just jumped to the conclusion that, of course, he did. And so, like, now there are, like, these like, 18-year-old guys just standing there with their arms folded, just staring at this kid, looking like, you crapped in our pool. So the kid, you know, he eventually gets out of the pool and he leaves. And so my one friend decides he's got to go down there and find out. He's got to verify that this really is what we think it is, you know. So he dives in there and he kind of like nervously pokes at this object on the bottom of the pool. And then he like grabs it and comes up for air and he's like, it's a flower. It was one of the like one of the fake flowers from the end of the pool that had gotten fallen into there. But we're pretty sure that kid like just went upstairs and had a heart attack.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Summer memory. This is a really strong memory of mine, and you were there. We went to Florida.
Oh yeah,
a bunch of us, group of friends, right?
Yeah.
And the plan was we'd drive the whole way through, right?
Yeah, right.
and overnight,
leaving in the middle of the night.
Yeah, we left in the middle of the night. Well, we left
it early. It was like 10.
Evening, yeah.
10.
We drove through the night into the next day to get to Florida. And I can remember it was the afternoon of the next day. We're finally in Florida.
Yeah.
And I think I was driving. And, you know, it's a summer day, so it's really warm out. Mm-hmm. All the windows are down. And we're all, like, in a haze just because we've all been up.
Yeah.
You know,
over 24 hours.
Yeah,
at this
exactly.
Point.
Yeah, and we drive through this orange grove.
Yeah,
and the smell that permeated the car was incredible, and it didn't necessarily smell like oranges, but it was like this, you know, aroma.
It was like citrus magic.
It was intense, and I can remember like the sun coming in, you know, to the car, the wind blowing in from, you know, because we're on the highway.
Yeah.
And then this smell just permeating the car is this amazing sense memory that I have that
of
the whole trip is probably what I remember the most.
Yeah. I think I agree.
And having like the most positive, probably the best moment of the whole trip was that for me. And then there was on the way back where you and I were very much of the same mind. Like, just want to get home now. Like,
yeah,
we're done with Orlando. It's time to get home. And the other people on the trip wanted to like sort of languidly linger on the way back, like stop at antique malls and, you know, at little touristy things. And
yeah, Which, to be fair, I mean, that's a cool trip. Yeah. It's just at this point, I think we were both.
Yeah, both of us were, for whatever reason, just like, we want to go.
Yeah.
But
that wasn't our trip. You know, it was like, that wasn't the point of the trip.
Yeah,
the point of the trip was to go to Florida and to come back.
Yeah.
It wasn't to, you know.
So at one point we were like, you know, I think we're just going to drive on. Like, we're probably not going to, we're not up for stopping.
Yeah.
At every little spot, you know, and I think it upset them and, you know, rightly so, like.
We ditched him, basically.
We were kind of sticks in the mud, you know, to be fair. But yeah, we ended up driving the whole way back, just you and me. And I remember getting stuck in a traffic jam.
In Atlanta,
late at night. And
yeah.
It was like the middle of nowhere, Atlanta.
Yeah.
It was like the outskirts of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And like just being stuck there, and I think we ended up getting back to St. Louis like 4 or 5 in the morning or something.
Yeah, we left at like 9 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
And then didn't get back until,
it's pretty incredible. But so that's the thing, those two, the bookends of that trip, the road trip part of those, are the ones that really like stick out in my mind. I mean, of course I remember being in Orlando and go to the theme parks and stuff, but I think I've been to those theme parks so often that the uniqueness of the road trip is what really stood out to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that orange thing, like, I think what made that so impressive, at least to me, was that, like, it was exactly what we needed at that moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, almost like some sort of guiding force, like the spirit of summer vacation, like, coming down and, like, saving us. Because I think you're right, like, at that point, we'd all been up so long, we were just sort of out of it, and like a couple people were really growing like anxious and
we weren't talking anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone was quiet.
Yeah. Well, the excitement had worn off and there was like bitterness setting in and like people were just fatigued.
Yeah.
You know? But then like, man, it was like the windows are down and somebody's like, is that oranges?
Yeah.
You know? And then like we all like, I remember like I was in the back seat when that happened.
Yeah.
And I remember like leaning forward into like the front seat and I'm like, you guys, that's awesome.
Yeah. It was.
It was like totally reinvigorated us. And
you're right. Yeah. It was very restorative.
Yeah.
And it made everyone happy instantly. It was such an incredible moment. And I would really love to find that orange grove again.
Yeah. I wish I knew where it was.
Somewhere on the way to Orlando.
Yeah.
Could probably find it again.
Just have to get on the road again.
Get on the road. Well,
you got a whole summer out there. Do it.
Yeah. Maybe we should do a road trip. Maybe we should do an episode about road trips.
Wait a minute.
In the summer series.
Hold on.
What?
Bam.
Should we put this one in the archives?
I guess we better. We got to get out. We got summer vacation.
Yes.
We don't, but we do.
But we do.
Yeah, for the purposes of this series.
Yeah, summer vacation.
It's summer vacation.
Get ready.
Here it comes. Starts now.